The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
I want to say good morning to Joseph Duffy. Good morning, Joseph.
Hello, Ryan.
It's really nice to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you, Ryan, too.
Could you do me a favour and describe that extraordinary Victorian building that has been housing the Smithfield fruit and vegetable market for so long? Describe it to me. What is it like?
It's a fabulous building. It was built by the British in the 1890s. They built them all over the world. It's a fabulous features on the brickwork and the steelwork. It's a lovely place to work in the summer. In the winter, it's Victorian, so it's very, very cold. It puts a lot of people off, but it's built like that, so it wouldn't heat up in the summer. So it's built to keep everything fresh before those fridges and that.
Well, that makes sense, given what it's been housing for all these years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it certainly fed the whole of Ireland at one time before, like, all the big central warehousing and supermarkets and all that. Everything came through the market here, all the fresh produce. Everything grown in Ireland came right through here. This was the hub.
Well, let's go back three generations to your grandfather and your grandmother.
Yes.
And tell me about their coming together.
Yes, my grandfather was one of the first auctioneers here in the market, Joseph Duffy also, and he worked as he was the director of Fletcher's. And my grandmother's family, the Bradys, they worked in the market as well. They had their own potato, they were potato merchants, seed merchants. And obviously my grandmother must have came in and she was maybe doing a wedding or flowers and she had bought at the auction. And my grandfather got to know her. He would pass the flowers down and maybe keep some flowers for her. And that's how the two families came together in the 1900s. So we've always had a Joseph Duffy in the market for the last 120 years.
And you'd be selling fruit and vegetable, but did you then just graduate towards and gravitate towards, the flowers then ultimately?
Yeah, ultimately what happened, my father would have started in 57 in fruit, veg and flowers. I would have came in 1972-ish. And I was 17, and I would have been driving all the fruit and veg from Rush and Old Town, bringing the big lorry loads of stuff into the market. And I went and trained with the Dutch people in flowers, because we used to sell a certain amount of flowers. And my brother, Kevin, was with me, and he would have sold the fruit and veg. But eventually, I went full-time into flowers, and we just ended up doing loads of weddings, funerals, all special occasions. So that's what happened.
And the market itself, it's closing when exactly?
It's closing on Friday. It's under renovation for the last 10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
So they've done most of the work above ground. Underground is Victorian sewers and drains and catacombs. So there's a lot of work to be done underground. But it's a great place for, it's going to be a great place for events. It's going to be a great place in the future as a big hub in the centre of the city with hotels going up and new university, Grange Gorman. So it's going to be a great spot. It's going to be like the Covent Garden of Dublin. It was built by the same people. And I was in the old Covent Garden when it closed, and then I was in the new market when it opened, Nine Elms in London.
Yeah.
My father took me over in the 70s, and he envisaged the new market would be built like this.
Well, that would be really special, because Covent Garden is so buzzy, and so good for business, and it's a lovely place to go to. So you, there would have been a lot of families, Joseph, like your own, in the market there, and I presume great camaraderie and, you know, a huge amount of a sense of community about the place. What happens now to everyone there? Where are you all heading to?
It is sad over the years, like it was like a world of its own. People used to come down in the morning at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was buzzing around here. And in the old days it was 50 different companies in the market itself, and it's down to 9 now at the moment, or 8. And all those families would have handed down generations, generations. So you would have known a lot of people. And it's sad over the years to see them either closing down or moving out, or maybe the next generation. My own family would have came in. My own two children came in to do, you know, a little bit of work in the summertime maybe or whatever. And but I think it's the cold and that always gets people in the winter. You have to be very hardy. So we've lost a lot of the families over the years,
And where's your new place going to be then?
Well, our new place is going to be about 20 feet away from the top end of the market, which is Mary's Lane. And it's beside a nice Aran Cafe. And Lawler's, the fruit people, are on one side of us. And we have a fine new warehouse that we're getting ready this week to move into on Friday. So we're going to be just in the same area, which is great. And we'll have the same phones in a few weeks' time as well, same lines. So good. It's great for... I thought about returning. I've done 45 years, which is a long time in the cold market. But loads of people ask me, you know, would I stay on? They'll miss us and, you know, they depend on us. And, you know, we have a good little business. You know, so hotels and restaurants and all people in the area were so easy to get to. And with the Lewis line now and... You know, we said we'd stay in the same area if we could. So
and will it look more like the English market in Cork or like the Covent Garden in London?
Well, I think it'd be a bit of both according to plans.
Okay.
It's so big, it's about six times the size of maybe Cork. It's nearly as big as Covent Garden, not quite as big because they have a few levels, but it'll be a fair size. There's a fair few acres in it. It's bigger than a lot of people think. It's only when you start to clear out, you see all the space and that's in it. So, you know, it could be a really, really good spot, and I hope they do it justice. And I'm looking forward to it, you know. So a lot of memories, a lot of sadness, a lot of, you know. But I think if the right people do it, it'll be a fabulous place.
Good, I hope so. It sounds beautiful. Potentially, architecturally and business-wise, it could be onto a winner there. So you'll still be selling flowers, Joseph, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we'll be still selling our flowers. Yeah, we do weddings. We do funeral work. We'll do wholesale. We do all sorts of events. We supply event companies. So thank God we're kept busy.
A text says, my mother and her sister always brought their flowers and wedding flowers at that market. Their names are Maureen Quinn, and Alice Coffey. Do you remember them?
I do very well, very well.
There you
lovely,
go.
Lovely, lovely family, the two sisters, yes, I remember.
There you are.
Yeah, great, yeah.
Because my own mother used to go down to the market to buy flowers of a morning too, because she just loved the buzz of it and getting up early and going down. So you could go down and not buy wholesale, you could just go down and just kind of like spoof your way into a bouquet of flowers or something from somebody like yourself. And
everything is sold by the wrap, or we do bouquets as well for people.
Great.
We look after customers.
How do you feel about lilies, Joseph?
There's all different types of lilies nowadays. It's not just the one type. So like, we have ones that wouldn't have stamens in them now. There's a new double lily out.
What's the one that wrecks your clothes when you brush off them?
Yes, most of the lilies have this little powder that comes out of the lily. But there's new lilies that haven't got that stamen.
Good.
So they're always bringing out something new with perfume or with no perfume.
It's all evolving. I presume flowers are nearly evolving the way dogs that you see, some that are being kind of like eugenics for flowers, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, crossbreeds.
Crossbreed flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Is that happening a lot too?
Oh, yeah. Bring out new colours, new varieties. Flowers that weren't out 20 years ago are actually saleable now, and they have a long life. Like things like clematis, people can't believe you can buy clematis as a cut flower. Lots of new flowers, I'd call them. Years ago, it was your chrysanthemums, carnations, and roses, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's probably 500 different types of flowers now that you can buy.
It's beautiful. I like the country garden sort of mix of flowers in it. You know that sort of old. You know what you like, don't you? When you go to buy flowers, you want
your
style. You like
the fashion now, like for weddings, the girls call them wildflowers, but they're not really wild. But it gives that appearance. They've been pulled out of your granny's garden.
But they haven't at all. You've been curating them carefully in a lab somewhere, have you?
Well, we've been sourcing them in 17 different countries get them into Ireland.
No granny's gardens were harmed in the making of this bouquet, right?
Oh, that's exactly.
Hey, listen, good luck to you and the family, Joseph. I know you're still going, so it's on it goes. It's real nice to talk to you today, and I hope the move is successful and fruitful.
Oh, thanks very much, Ryan. Thank you very
Not
much.
Not at all.
And
all the best.
Good luck.
Nice to talk to you. Joseph Duffy joining us. Fruitful was, just a fortuitous gaffe. Right, let's leave it there for today. Lots of texts on eyebrows and history and Tarantino and dogs and children, and we appreciate them all, and we'll get to them if we can in the morning. But now, as we head towards 10 o'clock, stay tuned for Miriam O'Callaghan. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow between 9 and 10.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.